Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. All right. Got some NBA playoff talk coming up in this hour. Lionel Hollins, former NBA head coach, will join me at 9:20 a.m. Eastern. We can take your calls on the NBA playoffs. Who you have this year? Is it the Warriors or the field? That would have been the way it probably would have been presented early in the year, and I would have taken the Warriors. I think most people would have taken the Warriors. Now I would definitely take the field over the Warriors if you're giving me that bet. Considering what the Rockets have done this season, considering LeBron James is still alive, considering Steph Curry is hurt and may not be 100% for the whole playoffs. So if it's the Warriors or the field, who you got? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I'll take calls on that. Something I'm not going to take calls on today, and I could easily, is Colin Kaepernick. But what I am going to do is tell a bunch of people to check themselves when it comes to Colin Kaepernick. And the people that need to check themselves are anybody that were still hanging on to the, this is about football, he's not a good quarterback type of deal. You guys should have been gone a long time ago. You're like gnats. You know, they have to keep swatting you. Get out of here. You know, what are you doing around here? Get out. I mean, you should have been gone a long time ago. But now, come on. What other argument could you possibly make in that regard? That this is related to football. Whether or not you think Kaepernick is great. I mean, there's a discussion to have on how good Colin Kaepernick is, like where you would place him. Is he as high as the 15th best quarterback in the NFL or as low as the 40th best quarterback in the NFL were he to be in the NFL, right? But there's no, he's not good enough to be in the NFL takes that hold any weight. And the latest piece in an overwhelming avalanche of evidence to that point is what happened with Seattle this week. And what happened with Seattle this week is he was supposed to go in for a workout, and the workout got postponed because apparently, according to reports, Kaepernick wouldn't commit to not kneeling for the anthem when he was asked on it. I don't know if that means he still plans to or not. Again, I think, you know, when it comes to this topic, it's become so muddied in large part due to what the occupant of the White House said about it earlier this year. And just the constant conversation and discourse and arguments. So sometimes I just, like everybody else, it's a little tiresome. And I wonder, you know, how much should it be talked about? But I'm going to stop speculating about that on the air or even talking out my inner monologue, because it's something that's important, I think, and should be talked about, because it's not cool that he doesn't have a job right now. It's not right in my mind. But I'd wish at least they'd be transparent about it and say he's not on the team because we are worried about our bottom line, our paying customers. Which is funny because they never worry about the other customers, the ones who are, you know, not on that side. They never seem to worry about, which is probably just as many, if not more people. I would imagine it's actually more people in the general populace, if it's not more people in certain demographics. They don't ever worry about that. But if either the owner said it personally offends me somehow for some reason, or that, you know, the bottom line of the NFL is affected or our ticket sales, at least be transparent about it. Don't sell a bill of goods. But that's clearly the line of the sand that's been drawn, which is their right. They have the right to say we don't want to employ this person because of the protest or the idea that he might protest. And I have the right to say that that's wrong. And it's remarkable in a sense. You know, disgraceful that some of these guys are on teams with domestic violence and all these other things, and this guy can't get a team because he's peacefully protesting police brutality. It boggles the mind. But that's the reason, and everybody knows it. And I get that Seattle is a place that is known as liberal. But I actually, you know, I was surprised. I was more surprised that a team was going to work Kaepernick out than I was that he didn't have the workout, right? That he doesn't have a job. I don't think he's ever playing in the league again. So, yeah, Pete Carroll's on record saying he's a starting quarterback. Yeah, the Seahawks have been a more politically and socially conscious team. And, yeah, Seattle's one of the most liberal places in the country. But it's already surprising that they even called him or were going to bring him in. That's surprising to me. And clearly, once that topic was broached, that was the end of it. Because it's not about the Seahawks, right? It's not about any individual team, I don't think, at least. I think it's about the NFL. And they have a preoccupation and an obsession and now a line drawn in the sand when it comes to that, and he's the face of that movement. So if that's the topic and he says he won't commit to, in his mind, I'm sure, selling out his humanity for the chance to get back in the league, then he's not going to be back in the league unless something changes. That's just the way it is. Another story. Sorry, I checked myself there, transitioning out, and realized there's a back in there. Another story in the NFL. I don't know if this person needs to check themselves or not, but it's just a fall from grace kind of tale. Mark Sanchez, did you see this? Suspended 4 games. QB cites supplement contamination. You know who I feel bad for? I feel bad for the player who gets busted for PEDs who actually didn't take any PEDs and puts out the statement saying that they didn't take any PEDs and they never knowingly took them, because no one believes it anymore because everybody goes with that, right? Like, I wonder how I would craft a statement if they were testing for the equivalent of that here on the air and my test came back positive and I didn't think I did anything, I knew I didn't do anything. I wonder what my statement would be. I think my statement would start this way. I know you guys have heard this a million times, and I know you roll your eyes when you read this now because you don't believe it anymore, but I didn't do this, so I'm not going to say I did. You know, like, that would be my statement, I think, rather than the same statement we see from everybody. You know, Mark Sanchez, when I say fall from grace, too, it's not just about, obviously, the substance deal. He just was sort of anointed in New York. The Jets are so desperate for a quarterback. Remember, he was the Sanchez. And they went to the AFC Championship game because people incorrectly place value of team success solely on the quarterback. He was like, oh, yeah, he's the next guy, next star in New York, next Joe Namath. And then I used to argue with Jets fans about it all the time on the radio in New York. I was like, he's not that good, guys. And then all of a sudden, he got traded, and everybody, you know, everywhere he wound up, everybody thought he was going to come and light it up, whether it was Philly or wherever he wound up throughout the rest of his career. And he is a backup quarterback at best, right? That's what Mark Sanchez is, a backup quarterback. And he was supposed to be great, and he just, you know, when he was a starter, he was arguably the worst starter in the league, you know, because he's a backup. And this just doesn't help his reputation. Because if you look at Mark Sanchez's non-football resume, it's very, very funny or interesting. He's got the butt fumble, which remains the funniest thing I've ever seen in professional sports. Like, that is laugh out loud, slapstick comedy funny. Doesn't he have video of him dancing naked? Wasn't that out there somewhere? He was dancing naked. He ate a hot dog during a game, right? He ate a hot dog during a game, which was in New York, that was like a controversy at the time. People might not remember, but it was like, oh, can he care about the game? How dare he eat a hot dog on the sidelines? One of those type of deals. And now he's hit for PEDs and says in his statement that he didn't do it. You know, and I wonder how people decide whether they believe these guys or not. At this point, I'm, like I said before, I just don't believe anybody when those things come out, because that's what everybody says. And the baseball guys really ruined it back in the day with their, like, forceful – they're standing in front of Congress. Remember when Ryan Braun – people forget the Ryan Braun one. Ryan Braun said, may lightning strike me dead if I use PEDs, and tried to frame this guy who was collecting the samples. Like, dude broke into his house and sprinkled – you know, sprinkle some crack on it. You know, like, put that on in his sample, and it tested positive. So it's hard to believe. But when it comes to a fall off, Mark Sanchez is pretty hard. If you want to, you know, weigh in on how it might compare to other sports fall offs, non-injury wise, you can at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227.
Can't forget also his time with the Jets. He had the headband. Mm-hmm. That was a and they also had, I don't know if you remember, the Fu Manchez. He had the goatee going there along with the hair too.
Yeah, he had some looks. I mean, he's a good-looking dude. You know, he had that. I think that's why people, to be honest with you, more than anything else, I think that's why people thought he might be good, is he sort of looked the part of star quarterback. You know, came from California, laid back, so the clutch, you know, like, came from California, sort of laid back, and was in big games early in his career, so the moment wasn't getting to him because of his laid-back personality, and he could pull off looking like a star out on the streets. I don't know what happened to him, but not a star, backup QB at best, and now disgraced. Maybe that's a strong word, but you know what I mean? It doesn't help. You know, unfortunately for him, he's viewed more now as a joke than anything else. Is that fair to say? Mark Sanchez's career is viewed more as a punchline than for anything he actually did out on the field. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter as well. That's RobinLundberg. Talk to former NBA head coach Lionel Hollins about the playoffs coming up next. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Thanks for the intro. Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. And I'm joined now by longtime NBA head coach, veteran of the NBA, Lionel Hollins, of course, coached the Grizzlies and the Nets. And coach, I want to talk about the NBA playoffs with you, but the first question I have for you real quick, because I haven't touched on it in the rest of the show, and this is a genuine query of mine. Is the Knicks coaching job desirable? Because the person who brings them back to glory will be a hero. However, that's been very difficult to do with the way the franchise has been run. I think they're looking for their fifth head coach since 2012 and their 10th since 2004. Is that a desirable coaching job?
Well, every job in the NBA is desirable. There's only 30 opportunities, and, you know, if you want to be a head coach, sometimes you have to take one that seems less than desirable at the moment and work with it. That's the best that you can get. You know, not everybody gets a Steve Kerr-type opportunity where you come in and the team is ready to take off. And, you know, the Knicks, I was looking through the Knicks coaching. Yeah, I was looking through a few of the teams that have fired coaches, and it seems that you go back in the last, like Mike Woodson, when he was fired, he was a successful coach there, but it wasn't good enough. And then from that point on, they've actually been losing. And I looked at a couple other teams in the same light. Jeff Hornacek was out in Phoenix and, you know, having moderate success in building. And since he's gone, they haven't had a success. So sometimes the decisions that the front office makes in terms of keeping or letting a coach go determines their fortunes for the near future. And I always say it's all about, you know, horses and ponies. Budenholzer, coach of the year a few years ago, did a great job. And now he's going out to talk to the Suns because, you know, his job could be in jeopardy. And the front office made the decision to go away from spending money. I was in Brooklyn and I had the same situation the first year there. We made the playoffs. We had a lot of veteran players. We had a lot of high-priced veteran players. And the next year they decide we're going with no money. And, you know, you have to have players in order to be successful in this business.
You mentioned a couple of coaches there, or a couple of opportunities that I want to circle back to in regards to the NBA playoffs. One was Steve Kerr. I think it is safe to assume he made the right decision to go to Golden State rather than the Knicks when he did have that choice at the time. But when you're looking at this postseason and the situation the Warriors are in, they have looked dominant and have been dominant. Obviously, a 73-win team adds Kevin Durant. But I've always argued that Steph Curry is the engine that makes them go and their most important player because of the attention he requires, the gravity, if you will. And with him out, they're more vulnerable. If he's injured, obviously they're more vulnerable. How much danger do you think the Warriors are in the first round maybe, or in the playoffs in general?
Well, I think that every year you have to go out and be that team that everybody thinks is the most dominant. And it has nothing to do with the Warriors and how they come down the stretch limping with the injuries that they've had, and obviously resting players as well.
Sure.
I just think that, you know, you get to the playoffs, and if you have a tough first-round series like they do, then something good comes from it because you get right into focus. You know that you're vulnerable. You know that your brain is tenuous if you don't get after it right off the bat and get your focus and your interest and everything right to the forefront. And next thing you know, you're playing well again. But, you know, when Kevin Durant is out, you know, they need all three of those guys, Klay Thompson and Durant and Curry, because they're, you know, when you have three guys that can get you 30 points, then go out and get you 20 points a night, that's 60 points that you have. It's incredible what it does to the rest of the team. And when one of those guys is out and you put a lot of pressure on Durant or you put a lot of pressure on Klay Thompson, you say, okay, we're going to take one of those two guys away. Nobody else on their team is capable of going out and getting 30 or 40. And so we're going to take one of those guys away, and then the other guy is going to have to carry the team, and he usually gets 30, and then the Warriors still struggle. But when you have all three of them, it's tough to match up and defend against them, and it doesn't allow you to move people around to put your best defender on Durant or your best defender on Klay Thompson or your best defender on Curry, because those other two guys are there. So you know, they are vulnerable, but you know, they're very capable, and they just need one or two of those guys to step up. Quinn Cook has played well down the stretch. So I think that, you know, it'll be a good series, and it'll determine how well San Antonio can score consistently as they go forward.
Yeah, I think that's the worry with the Spurs. Early in the year, Coach, the Warriors played okay without Curry. Their offense falls off without Curry, but they played a grinded out style. And I don't know if San Antonio can score enough. Maybe they try and get it into a half-court game, though, because Curry can't create that pace bringing the ball up and down the court. Robin Lundberg talking to NBA vet, head coaching vet, Lionel Hollins here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, when you were referencing the Knicks, you talked about Mike Woodson, and he took over for Mike D'Antoni, who had a rough go, just like everybody in New York, but has resurrected, you know, the glowing words about him in Houston with the way that team has played. But he, Chris Paul, and James Harden all have some playoff questions surrounding them, at least narrative-wise. Do you think any of that stuff is real for any of those individuals as the Rockets go in with the best record in the NBA?
Well, you know, it's real from the past perspective, but the past is gone. Today is today, and they get to start anew, and they get to set a legacy going forward to erase whatever everybody's saying about him. For Chris Paul, I think the most important thing is staying healthy. You know, usually as they go down the stretch, he's been hurt or banged up, whether it be his thumb, whether it be his hamstring. Something has happened that's kept him from being as effective as he's capable of being. He's a fantastic player, and he takes a lot of the weight. Usually the best player on your team does take the weight. Harden's had some different issues in terms of his team hasn't been able to move forward, and the debacle he had last year against the Spurs when they got blown out at home in the last game was, you know, a terrible blow to, you know, his perceived legacy. He's still a great player, and he has done wonderful things. He's going to be the MVP this year without a doubt, and he'll have to live up to that in the playoffs all the way through. But I think what people miss is that in order to be great in the playoffs, you have to have people around you that play great. You know, you can't be a one-man band because, as I said earlier about the Warriors without Curry, teams will now scheme to take away what you do. And they'll force you to make somebody else beat you. And if they can't, then you're going to struggle. And then the team is going to struggle because nobody else can pick you up. So I think having Chris Paul, a healthy Chris Paul, will help Harden. It will help Chris Paul as well to be a part of tandem of James Harden and himself.
What's your assessment of the East? Of course, LeBron's been there seven straight times to the finals. Most people probably picking them the eighth straight finals. They've had a real rough go of it at times this year, but he has been the one constant, and there's been a small sample of their new roster, plus LeBron, plus Kevin Love, and when they've had that, they've been quite good. Do you have them as the Eastern team to beat as well?
Oh, no question about it. They are the favorite. You know, LeBron is the best player in the game today. And he's shown that he can take whatever kind of talent and mold it by his talent and his personality and lift them up to greatness. When he first went to Cleveland and they went to the finals, that wasn't the greatest team that he had around him. But that shows his greatness, and he's shown it again this year. And we had a healthy Kevin Love shooting the ball the way he's been shooting it. And some of those young guys bringing in energy, Larry Nance Jr., Carl Clarkson, those guys have done a great job in Hood. They haven't been consistent, but as they've been going down the stretch and Kevin Love came back and gave that great 1-2 punch of scoring, there's pressure on those other guys is not to score, but just to go out and play consistent. And so it's easier to just go out and play and just be consistent in effort and consistent in whatever opportunities you get versus having to rise up and get 18 to 20 points, which Kevin Love is capable of. He's capable of getting more than that. And, of course, you're going to get whatever LeBron gets. They just need all those guys to be consistent. How these guys perform and with confidence in the playoffs is going to be important in order for Cleveland to go forward. Nobody can say that Toronto is not a legitimate finals candidate because they are. They've changed their game. They play much different. The ball moves better. They're not so much one-on-one dominant with DeRozan or with Lowry. And that's what gets hurt in the playoffs. One-on-one basketball in the playoffs is difficult as you're just so great that nobody can guard you. You know, mm-hmm. But, you know, team scheme. And they take that stuff away. And now what are you going to do? And Toronto in the past hasn't been able to do as well. And then last year, Kyle Lowry gets hurt and doesn't play at the end. But I like them. I like Philadelphia. If Embiid comes back, I think that they're a sleeper. Boston, you know, can they score enough as they go forward in the playoffs? So it's going to be very intriguing and going to be fun to watch. I love the first rounds of the playoffs because the teams are more evenly matched. As you go forward, you know, the domination of one team or the other becomes apparent real quick.
Coach, appreciate your insight this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. I enjoyed it.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Warriors of the field. At the beginning of the year, it was the Warriors. Now it's not so clear who you got. 855-212-4227. NBA playoffs start today. We've talked about the NBA being definitively the best product in sports. Stand by my statement. Talked about Dez Bryant's release and how I really don't think it's a big deal. And actually, it will help Dak Prescott because he won't be over-targeting Dez. 855-212-4227, which is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. The only thing we haven't talked about, well, there are a few things we haven't talked about, and we'll get to that now in another one. All right, what's up first?
All right, so with the NBA playoffs starting today, Robin, which player do you feel is under the most pressure to perform this postseason?
Kevin Durant, for sure. I would say the triangle, or if you're saying players, the duo of James Harden and Chris Paul is next. But first, it's Kevin Durant, because if the Warriors were to get bounced early because Steph isn't there or isn't right, do you imagine, you know, what it does to Kevin Durant, what people are going to say about Kevin Durant at that point? Like, he already caught it for going to Golden State in the first place, for hopping on to a 73-win team. If the reason, the biggest reason they won all those games is absent and he can't elevate them, that's not a good look at all if they fall apart without Steph Curry. So I think the answer to that question is for sure Kevin Durant.
So Kevin Love says LeBron James' free agency decision could impact the Cavs' playoff run. Will James' decision hang over the team?
I don't think so. You know how I know? We're not talking about it right now, right? It sort of is like, It was a thing. It's a cool thing to bring up during the course of a long regular season. It's like, oh, no, what's LeBron going to do? Yeah. Billboards. But we're not talking about it now. Nobody's speculating. If they get eliminated, we will again. But I don't think – I think LeBron is focused enough. He's proven he's there to play, and it has had no impact on his play. I think it will he'll raise the rest of the team as normal. So, no, I don't think that will have any impact on the playoffs themselves or how the Cavs play. Obviously, how the Cavs do, I think, could impact what LeBron does. And that's the story for the summer, not the story for the spring.
As we have already mentioned, the Knicks are once again looking for a head coach. It's being reported the Knicks will reach out to Jay Wright. Any chance Jay Wright would leave Villanova?
Probably not for the Knicks. I mean, he might for another. Look, when you're in a position like Jay Wright, he has a lot of leverage. Because I was talking to Coach Lionel Hollins about it earlier. He said, you know, when you're trying to make it as a coach, you might take any job. And that might be the case for a lot of guys. But when you're desirable, you're seen as the hot commodity, you can be more selective. And the Knicks would make sense for Jay Wright in a lot of ways. I mean, the Knicks situation's not horrible on paper. If Porzingis were to come back healthy, that's a big if. But if he's coming back healthy, that's not a horrible situation on paper. Their caps are going to be clean soon. Once that Noah contract is off the books, they have their draft picks, so they're not buried behind on draft picks. And it's the New York market and everything. But the Knicks have just, you know, it's not me with any personal axe to grind. The Knicks have proven themselves to be a dysfunctional franchise that is a bad work environment and brings down the people who work there. So why would you take that job if you're Jay Wright and you have the inkling of going to the NBA? You can handpick your situation a little bit better.
Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons, they've been going back and forth on who deserves Rookie of the Year honor. Is Donovan Mitchell taking a shot at Ben Simmons with his rookie definition hoodie? A two-parter here. Is Ben Simmons really a rookie? And who do you think deserves the Rookie of the Year award?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. Ben Simmons, yes, Rookie of the Year. I don't think, easily. He is a heck of a player, man. I mean, the way I've been saying this week is, Donovan Mitchell to me strikes me as like, oh, he could be an all-star. Ben Simmons strikes me as he could be an MVP. And if you're just looking at their season, the winning argument doesn't really do it for Donovan Mitchell because the Sixers have won a lot more than you'd expect. And they really went on a roll at the end of the season without Embiid, and Simmons is the guy. As far as whether he's a real rookie, well, he qualifies under the rule, right? So, by the book, he's a rookie, so therefore he would get my Rookie of the Year vote. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me that, look, he didn't play last year. It'd be one thing if there was like a qualifying minutes limit and he just didn't play because he wasn't good enough. His foot was broken, and he couldn't play. So did he really gain that much? I suppose he didn't like college in the first place. I mean, has anybody railed against college harder than Ben Simmons? He's like, it's a waste of time, you know, one and done. He was outspoken about that from the beginning. So I guess it helped them to be in a professional environment to learn the rules of the road, the tricks of the trade, the medical equipment you have access to, the nutrition, all that, like a year up of being a professional. But he didn't gain anything on a basketball court. And Donovan Mitchell was playing basketball last year at Louisville, where there's probably some perks to playing at Louisville from what we've heard, right? So I don't buy that notion that it was such an advantage as much as some people do.
Tom Brady called Lamar Jackson a beast this past week. Do you think the Patriots, any chance the Patriots move up in the draft to get Lamar Jackson?
Well, will they have to move up in the draft to get Lamar Jackson? That's part of the question. I have to look at the draft order right now, but I don't know if they have to really move up to land him. He isn't going near the top of the drafts from everything I've seen. So they're, what are they, sitting at 23, the pick they have from the Rams? Then they could take Lamar Jackson right there. I wonder if it's a strategy, because I can't take everything the Patriots do at face value. The fact that they've been putting this out there so much makes you wonder if they're actually going to do it, but I like the idea of it. I mean, they need an heir apparent to Tom Brady. they could use Lamar Jackson maybe, you know, in certain situations while he's preparing to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. And the upside for a late first round pick for him is tremendous. You know, it's just odd how Josh Allen's potential gets talked about despite accuracy issues, but Lamar Jackson's potential doesn't get talked about because of accuracy issues when he actually performed. And I'm not saying college performance is always indicative of pro performance. We know that not to be the case, but he clearly has a lot of talent, and it's just weird how it's only the downside for him and not the potential, and it's only the upside for the other guy who hasn't done anything. So I like the upside of picking Lamar Jackson late in the first round if I'm an NFL team.
Yankees, Red Sox, Padres, Rockies got into a day-night MLB brawl doubleheader on Wednesday. Are brawls good for baseball? Should MLB do more to stop brawls?
I think what MLB did was about right. I might have been a little bit more heavy-handed. No, I don't think brawls are good for baseball. Look, they're fun, I suppose. People like to talk about them. They go, whoa! I mean, I was here in the newsroom here the night that went down, and I thought something bad was happening out there. I was like, what's going on? The Yankees and Red Sox were in a brawl. So there's that, like, curiosity factor, the ooh kind of deal. But they don't – no one's watching baseball because of brawls. You know, I needle hockey fans a little bit when I say that they should take fighting out of hockey because it devalues the sport. And one of the arguments is people watch hockey because of the fights. That's not true. Hockey ratings aren't high enough to make that argument, and hockey fans are devoted. Baseball fans, there's a big audience there, and they're not – none of them are watching for the brawl. And, you know, I can't sit here with a straight face and tell you that's something that should be condoned, guys punching each other in the face. But the real problem lies in how they got to the brawl. And that's twofold. One, I don't care if it's hard-nosed baseball. You can't be taking guys' legs out at second base and a slide into second base. It's one thing if you're going in hard and you're just sliding into second base and the contact is incidental. But we see way too often where it's an excuse to make contact in that case. And baseball is not a contact sport. It is not at all. There is no aspect of baseball where contact is a part of it in its natural form, organically. So that's a problem. And then throwing at guys as a sense of retribution or policing is a disgrace. It's a disgraceful part of baseball that needs to be removed. So I am for any long-term forcible suspension that happens as a result of that. You cannot justify hurling a hard object at 90-something miles per hour at a human being because he celebrated or you don't like his attitude or anything. There is not one thing that can happen in baseball that would justify an unprovoked assault as throwing a baseball at somebody is. They got to get that garbage out of the game and as soon as possible.
Stan Van Gundy said this week that tanking shows lack of respect for NBA fans. Do you trust that Silver will be able to fix the tanking problem?
Yes, I do. I do trust that Adam Silver will take a logical, rational approach and try to make change. The one thing that's not going to work is just telling teams not to do it, though. And I don't think it shows a lack of respect for fans. Ask Philly fans how they feel about it right now. You know, it shows a lack of respect to the fans who bought tickets to that one game, but not to the fan base. Because if you're trying to, if I'm running a team, my object is, you know, winning a championship is a narrow-minded goal, right? Like, because that's just focused on the result. And who knows? Anything can happen to prevent you from winning a championship. So my goal is not to win a championship. My goal is to construct a team that has the best and longest window to win a championship. That is constantly in the mix. Therefore, you keep having opportunities. And there's almost no way to get there for a middling team. It's, you know, I used the Hornets as an example earlier. How in the heck are the Hornets going to get good? How are they going to do it? No one's going to go sign there, considering their situation. They don't have player on their roster who's going to, like, make a leap, who's going to get them there. And they're not bad enough to likely draft that person in the draft. So why do what they're doing when you can bottom out and maybe land a star? And Philadelphia's whole process wasn't about, like, tanking one year. It was about acquiring as many assets as possible and increasing your chances of hitting on one of them. And they hit on a couple of them. at least so far, in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and we'll see about Markelle Fultz.
And finally, Robin, Bull City Burger in Durham, North Carolina. They are celebrating Exotic Meat Month by offering a tarantula burger, which is exactly what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And according to Bull City Burger's Twitter account, people say it tastes most like crab or other shellfish, sometimes with a bit of a metallic-y taste, but the legs, the body, each bite taste a little bit different. Would you eat this burger, and what is the most exotic thing that you've ever eaten?
I would eat the burger. Why not? Unless it's like poisonous and can kill me, why wouldn't I eat it? What's the difference? You know, like, I feel badly personally about eating meat in general. It makes me feel sad, and I don't know why I do it. I don't like eating off a bone because it reminds me that the animal was alive. And I also do some sort of intelligence system sometimes where I feel like I won't eat pig usually, or I try not to eat pig because they're as smart as 3-year-olds. And I feel better about eating chickens, even though I still feel sad about it. So I don't like eating meat, and you've now brought that up in my mind, and I'm going to cry. And then people are going to call me soft and weak. But I do eat meat, and I would try a tarantula burger.
When I went to Seattle last year, Safeco, you know, they have the grasshoppers, which are a big kid. So I tried the grasshoppers.
Like a snack, right? They have like chips. You know, gopher is the most exotic thing I ate. And I ate that. I worked on a farm. I was a cherry tomato picker on a farm, and this gopher was running amok on the farm, and the farmer killed the gopher on the spot and cooked him for stew for lunch that day. So that's the most exotic thing I had, was gopher stew day of.
Would you eat the grasshoppers at Safeco?
Sure. High in protein, too. And I feel
much, light, crunchy, like
lime. I feel
much
better about eating insects. What is their lifespan, like 3 days anyway? What's the difference? Like, I feel much better eating, no carbs, no fat, none of that. I bet you that's good for you. I bet you're going to find out later that those are what we're supposed to be eating, plant-based things and insects. The things that eat plants and plants. We definitely know plants are good for you. So is this show. Every Saturday morning, 6 to 10 Eastern Time, here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius Channel 206. Whatever you missed, just grab on the podcast, cbssportsradio.com. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show, here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.